The Bible tells us that once, when the Jewish people were going through extremely difficult days, God gave them a beautiful promise in the book of Hosea. He said, "I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope." Did you know that God will do this for you too if you'll trust Him? He'll turn your difficulty into a door to a better life. Your adversity will become the access point to better days. Anybody can bring good out of good, but God specializes in bringing good out of bad situations. He can change the opposition you face into an opening for new opportunities. He can open up a path through problems that seem impossible to get around. And as you listen to this broadcast each day, and you take the steps toward new hope, I am excited to lead you as a friend on this spiritual journey. I want you to remember what God has said in His Word. Watch out for the new things I'm going to do. It's happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water in the desert. This is Daily Hope, and I'm Rick Warren.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part 3 of a message called Winning the Battle Inside Me.
If you've ever had preschoolers, you probably know the series of books called Frog and Toad Together. And I used to read them to my kids, and one of my favorite stories to my kids was this story called Cookies. Frog and Toad. Toad baked some cookies. "These cookies smell really good," said Toad. And he ate one, and they tasted even better, he said. So Toad ran over to Frog's house. "Frog, Frog," cried Toad, "taste these cookies that I've made." Frog ate one of the cookies. "These are the best cookies I have ever eaten," said Frog. So Frog and Toad ate many, many cookies, one after another. "You know, Toad," said Frog with his mouth full, "I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick." "You are right," said Toad. "Let us eat one last cookie, and then we will stop." So Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. But there were very many cookies still left in the bowl. Frog said, "Toad, let us eat one very last cookie, and then we will stop eating cookies." Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. "We must stop eating," cried Toad as he ate another. "Yes," said Frog, reaching for a cookie. "We need willpower." "What is willpower?" asked Toad. Frog said, "Willpower is trying hard not to do something that you really want to do." "You mean like trying not to eat all these cookies?" asked Toad. "Right," said Frog. So Frog put the cookies in a box. "There," said Frog, "now we will not eat any more cookies." "But we can open the box," said Toad. "This is true." So Frog tied some string around the box. "There," he said, "now we will not eat any more cookies." Toad said, "But we can cut the string and open the box." "That is true," said Frog. So Frog got a ladder, and he put the box up high on a shelf. "There," said Frog, "now we will not eat any more cookies." But Toad said, "We can climb the ladder and take the box down from the shelf and cut the string and open the box." "That is true," said Frog. So Frog climbed up the ladder, and he took the box down from the shelf, and he cut the string, and he opened the box, and Frog took the box outside and threw all of the cookies out, and he shouted in a loud voice, "Hey, birds! Hey, birds! Here are free cookies!" Birds came from everywhere. They picked up all the cookies in their beaks, and they flew away. "Now we have no more cookies," said Frog, "but we have lots and lots of willpower." "You may keep it all, Frog," said Toad. "I'm going home now to bake a cake." The great theology of Frog and Toad. Now, how many times have you played Frog and Toad with something you thought, "I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm not going to do it anymore," and then you do it? This is the frustration. And it always leads to number 6, which is discouragement and despair. Paul gets so discouraged from this war going on inside him. And he says, it seems to be a fact of life. In other words, I'm giving up on this. Seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. And in my mind, notice this is a mental battle. The battle's going on in your mind. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. He said, I feel like giving up. I'm in a battle and I'm losing and I'm feeling hopeless. And it causes these 6 things in my life. Now next, Paul discusses not the cost of the battle, but the cause. And what is the cause of this battle that's going on in you? Write this down. The reason is I have 2 natures.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Winning the Battle Inside Me from our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
I have 2 natures. You actually have 2 natures inside of you. You have your old nature, which you were born with, and you have the new nature that was given to you when you trusted in Christ, when you were born again, when you became a believer. And this new nature wants to do the right thing, but you still have the old nature inside of you. And these 2 natures are in constant conflict with each other. And that's the cause of the battle. You have 2 natures, not 1, 2 natures inside of you. In verse 21, Paul says this, "I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there's something else deep within me, my lower nature." That's my old nature. The Bible often calls it my flesh, or it calls it my carnal self, or calls it the old man. These are synonyms for the old nature. "There's something else deep within me, my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me." Now, even though I'm a Christian, my old nature is still alive. And I hate to tell you this, but you're going to live with it the rest of your life. You don't get rid of your old nature until you go to heaven. When you became a follower of Christ, he gave you a new nature and a new ability to do the right thing. But that's at war with the old you. And sometimes you feel like, I feel like there's two me's inside of me. I heard about an old Indian chief who was a Christian. And he was trying to explain this war between the new natures to his son. And he said, it's like two dogs in my mind in battle together. There's a good dog and there's a bad dog and they're fighting it out. And the young son said, well, Dad, which one wins? He said, whichever dog I feed the most. And that's going to be true in your life. Whether you feed your old nature or feed your new nature. But even though I'm a believer and I've walked with the Lord for in a long time, I still have my old nature in me, which wants to be prideful, which wants to be self-centered, which wants to gossip, to lie or steal or make myself better or, you know, exaggerate or whatever. That old nature is still there. And the lust and the gossip and the lie and all that stuff there. Now, let me tell you why the problem is your problem. Because willpower is not enough to defeat your old nature. And if you think that you can change simply by wanting to change or by learning about change, it isn't going to happen. It'll happen for a little while, but then you're going to get tired and you're going to stop flapping. Knowing what to do is not enough to change you. If it was, I would never have to repeat a sermon topic. You'd get it, you'd change in that area, and then we'd just go on to something else. But just because you know the right thing to do does not mean you do it. The next verse says this, so you see how it is, Paul says, my new life tells me to do right, but my old nature that's still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Circle that phrase, terrible predicament. In the original Greek, it literally means the exhaustion of hard work. It means being worn out after an intense battle. It means you're out of energy. You're wiped out. You're fatigued. You're frustrated. You feel like a failure. It's Paul's cry of agony. He says, I need relief. I need help. Now, this is not a pretty picture. Romans 7 is the picture of a defeated, struggling Christian. And finally, he falls on his face and out of exhaustion. And Paul goes, what's the cure? And then he tells us. And he says, God's battle plan for victory. And he tells us what the plan is. Now, this plan is all in chapter 8. And we're going to cover all of that next week. And I can't share it all in one week because it's too much material. But let me get you started on a couple of advanced steps on how you start to win the battle going on inside you. You do three things initially. And then we'll cover all of the material next week. The first thing I need to do, God's battle plan for winning the battle inside me, is I must deepen my understanding of Christ. Now, you already know Christ. It's you got to deepen your understanding of Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Now, we're not talking about being an unbeliever here. You're a believer. Paul is a believer here. Jesus is already in you. In fact, that's why you have this battle. If you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't have this battle. Why? Because you'd only have one nature. And if you only got one nature, your old nature, you just go ahead and do whatever you please and do the wrong thing, and you don't even care about it. So a non-believer does not have this battle going on in them. Because they don't have the good nature battling with the old nature. They just got the old nature that says, do whatever you want to do. So the fact that you've got Jesus in you is what's causing the battle. But having Christ in you is not enough. He doesn't just want to be resident in your life. He wants to be president in your life. He doesn't want to just take up space. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be the Lord of your life. What does that mean, Lord? It means he's the CEO. He's the boss. He's calling the shots. He's the chairman of the board. He wants you to put a sign over you that says, under new management. That's what it means to have Jesus as the president of your life, under new management. But the first step is I have to deepen my understanding of Jesus Christ. He's in my life, but I got to know more about him. Romans 7, verse 24 and 25. Who will free me from this life? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God, the answer is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I want you to circle the phrase dominated by sin. This is an amazing phrase here. In the original Greek, it is literally, who will free me from this body of death? This body of death. And Paul is giving a striking illustration here that you wouldn't understand unless you knew what was going on in the Roman Empire. Because in those days, one of the punishments for murdering somebody was sometimes they would chain the body of the person you murdered to you. And you had to walk around with that person until they decayed and fell off. And instead of putting you in jail, they would chain the person you murdered and took their life, and that body of death would be chained to you. Which means everywhere you go, you're carrying around the memory of your sin. And you wake up each morning and the stench is unbearable. And wherever you go, you have to drag that body with you. That's the phrase Paul is using here in the Greek when he says, who's going to free me from this body of death? That's keeping it, it's stinking. Now, I want you to notice on that phrase, circle the word who. He says, who will free me? He doesn't say what, because the answer to the battle in you is not a principle, it's not a program, it's not a pill, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. You know those things you want to change but can't change in your life? The answer is not a Tony Robbins seminar. The answer is not a new book. The answer is not the next conference. The answer is not psychology, it is not therapy, it is not philosophy. He doesn't say, what'll free me from all these hang-ups I've got in my life? He says, who will free me? The answer is that only God can free you. Jesus Christ. Who will free me from this decaying life I've got? Paul says, I'm at the end of my rope. He's been talking now for verse after verse. I'm at the end of my rope, and at the end of his rope, he gets a flash of hope. And he says, oh, I got it. Thank God. He just blurts it out. Thank God the answer is in what Jesus did. He says the answer is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, it's not enough just to say Jesus is the answer to all your problems. I want to know how. How is he the answer to all my problems? So you're going to have to come back next week for that. Because I can't go through the eight reasons, the things that Jesus did for you that are in Romans chapter 8. We're going to go in that. But the first thing you've got to do is you've got to deepen my understanding of Christ. Second preliminary step to ending the battle going on inside of you and winning the battle. I must detect and disarm the lie I'm believing. I must detect and disarm the lie that I'm believing. You need to understand that the number one way Satan messes up your life is by suggesting lies to you or to get you to lie to yourself. And that's the way, number one way you mess up your own life is lying to yourself. Every time you expose and challenge a lie that you've listened to in your mind, you're going to be further set free. Every time you sin, you might write this down. In fact, look at this verse. The Bible says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he's saying there that sin causes us to deceive ourselves and deception causes us to sin. Now, we all tell ourselves lies all the time, all the time. In fact, one of the big lies that you tell yourself is this one. It's not really a problem. Oh, really? Yeah, it's not really a problem. My finances, they're not really a problem. Our sex life, it's not really a problem. My kids, it's not really a problem. My work, not really. My temper, my foul mouth, my thought life, my little secret habit over here in the corner, it's not really a problem. Who are you kidding? The Bible says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
You may feel totally defeated today, and you may be thinking, I just want to give up. I want you to listen to me very carefully to what I say right now. If you're ready to give up, that's good. You can stop trying to do everything on your own because it's impossible. You can't live life without Jesus. But Jesus can empower you with new life. You see, the fact is, all of our best intentions are not good enough. The alcoholic who says, I'll never take another drink, is going to fail on his own. And the angry person who says, I'll never lose my temper again, is going to fail on his or her own. And the person who's controlled by porn who says, I'm never going to look at it again, is going to fall again. How many promises to yourself have you broken? The only way to win the battle inside you is to let the Holy Spirit do it. You have to admit that you can't live the Christian life on your own power. You want to do the right thing, but you end up doing wrong. And that's frustrating. So let's just be honest and just say, this isn't working. Let me pray with you. And I want you to pray this prayer right now. Just say this. Dear God, you know the confusion in my life. You know the frustration I feel. You know the guilt and the shame. And you know the compulsions and the habits and the addictions that are secret to everybody else but me and you. And you know how many times I've made promises to myself that I haven't kept. Dear God, I need you to give me victory over these problems. I can't win this battle inside me. I ask that you deepen my understanding of what Jesus Christ has already done for me. Show me how to let go and how to let your Spirit live through me. Help me to challenge the lies that Satan puts in my mind and to challenge the lies that I tell myself. I want to know the truth about me, and I want it to set me free. If you prayed that prayer and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, you're fighting this battle on your own and you're going to fail. So you need to say this: Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life right now. Please live in me. I don't understand it, but I want to learn to love you and trust you and follow you. And most important, I want to let you live through me by your Spirit. So I pray this in your name. Amen. I'm Rick with this word of encouragement. Be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.